Today we continue, but also conclude on the series entitled Power. I believe that today's message is going to has the potential to significantly change your life. I'll ask you this question. How many were here last week? How many remember to flip the switch this week? Now, if you're like, I forgot about that, I'm going to encourage you to go back to FWCPO.org and re-listen to the message. If you don't know what that means, flip the switch. I tell you what, that within itself is a life-changing message. And go to FWCPO.org. Listen to part one if you haven't. Listen to part two if you haven't of these messages, of the power messages. And I encourage you to do that. But this series will dovetail into next week's series. A new series will start next week, which will dovetail into Easter, which will dovetail into what Pastor Kathy and I basically are calling probably the biggest series of the quarter. And so, which will be right after Easter, because we want you to come back. We want visitors to come back. So we're making plans, you know, and so here this morning, like we said, the video announcement said, you definitely do not want to miss a single week of Family Worship Center. You know, you never know what you're going to miss. And so I would like to share with you this morning a discipline that I've taken on over the past 19, 20 years of pastoring, you know, being a youth pastor and whatnot. It's things that I've made a part of my life. And so this morning I'm giving you the opportunity to join in with me in this very simple discipline of what I call power within words. Look at your neighbor and say, power within words. I'm going to ask a lot of questions this morning, rhetorically, obviously. I'm going to make a lot of statements. And so this morning I'll start off with, how many of you at times within your life have felt challenged? Right? Challenge maybe your family, challenge with your job, challenge with your school, challenged in life. Right? There are certain times when things just seem extremely challenging. Can someone say amen? Well, I believe with all of my heart that regardless of other people's decisions, other people's actions, I own the decision of how I respond to things. I own the decision of how I react to things. And that decision comes into play in how I think. Now, some of you may be thinking, oh my gosh, here we go. It's going to be one of those positive speaking messages and blah, 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 you know, and others are sitting there right now thinking, oh, wait a second, I need this right now. There's been a momentum here at Family Worship Center over the last several months. And now, you know, what God's been doing over the last few months and bringing me and my family on a higher elevation with our walk with them. I'm ready. I'm ready for this. I'm ready for this seasonal message. You know, I want each of you to realize that your thoughts matter more than you can imagine. Your thoughts matter more than you can imagine. The first statement I'm going to make here this morning is, our lives move in the direction of our strongest thoughts. Our lives move in the direction of our strongest thoughts. If your thoughts are full of faith, full of God's truth, you're becoming more like Christ every single day. If your thoughts are negative, if your thoughts are toxic, if your thoughts are polluted, I promise you that you will not live a life of victory. But you will struggle in your actions because your thoughts are far from God's truth. Our lives move in a direction of our strongest thoughts. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6 talks about this. Those who are dominated by a sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. Verse 6. God bless you. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and leads to peace. There's an answer for somebody right there. If you're not having peace in your life, if you think, I ain't got no life, right? I guarantee you, you need to change how you think. It says so right here. Our lives move in the direction of our strongest thoughts. Your inner dialogue matters so much. I don't know if you admit it, but how many of you talk to yourselves, right? Now, as long as you don't answer yourself. Then you got a bigger situation going on right now. But the inner dialogue that takes place, every single person does it. I don't let guys don't. I'm a dude too, so I'm being honest. It happens, and I'll prove it to you. We all have inner dialogue that takes place. But the challenge is this. The challenge with that inner dialogue, is it destructive or is it pleasing to God? I'll give you an example. Is it destructive by words of when you think or you're talking about yourself thinking, I'm such an idiot when you do something wrong. Oh, my gosh. You're so stupid, John. Oh, you are worthless. You will never amount to much. That's destructive. Or is it pleasing to God? I tell myself what the Bible says about me every day. Is your inner dialogue dominated by sinful, negative, and critical thinking? Don't look at your spouse at this time. Wrong time. Or is your dialogue, or would you say that your dialogue, that your mind is controlled by the Spirit of God, consistent with honoring God with Christ-directed thoughts? Let me give you a couple different scenarios to answer this question. Where you fall in on? Is it a negative, destructive thinking? Or is it not? You know, is it a God-centered thinking? So is your thought life, let me ask you this question. I told you I'm going to ask a lot of questions, make a lot of statements. This will help you identify and locate where you are. Is your thought life more God-centered or negative-based? I'll give you two scenarios that will help locate you. The God scenario. When you wake up in the morning, is the common direction of your mind this way? God-centered. When you wake up, is your inner conversation, your inner dialogue, do you say, my God is with me. I'm full of faith. My mind is full of life and full of peace. Thoughts like, my life matters. Thoughts like, I've got a great calling. Thoughts like, I've got divine energy to do everything that God has for me to do today. Thoughts like, I'm excited about this day. Thoughts like, today is the day that the Lord hath made. Woo, woo. Thoughts like, I'm going to make a difference for the glory of God. Does that represent something along the lines of how you think in the morning? Or when you wake up, is it like, snooze, snooze? That's me. I'll be honest with you. Is your inner dialogue, I'm so tired, I'm so tired, I'm so tired. Where's the coffee? Oh, where's the coffee? Is your inner dialogue, why is that kid pulling on me on the edge of the bed? Why do we have kids in the first place? Dialogue like, oh my gosh, another day, here we go again. Dialogue like, oh, this is going to be a tough week. Dreading it. Too much to do. I got to go to this stupid job. I got to work with these stupid people. I'm using the word stupid a lot. Life is overwhelming. Whatever I do, I just can't get ahead. And both of those scenarios are pretty extreme, I'll tell you, be honest. Those are Pretty extreme. But which one sounds more like you? Which one examples the general dialogue that you have with yourself in your mind every morning? Say, I believe your life is moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. So I have another question for you. If your life is moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts, the question I have for you based upon that statement is, are you excited about the direction your thoughts are taking you? Are you excited about the direction your thoughts are taking you? Both this statement and this question locates exactly where we're at. See, if we allow God's word to change our thinking, that would start to change a lot about us. That's the power within the words. Let me break it down for you, right? MC Hammer style. Some people don't even know who MC Hammer is. All right. So let me break it down for you. That's the song you can't touch. Okay. All right. So anyways, how we think directs what we allow within our hearts. How we think directs what we allow in our hearts. What's within our hearts comes out of our mouth. What comes out of our mouth breathes life or breathes death. Basically, we have to be careful because our thoughts turn into words and our words turn into actions. Luke beautifully talks about this in chapter 6, verse 45. It reads, a good person produces good fruit from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. What kind of thoughts are you allowing to be deposited in the places of your heart? Proverbs 18:21 says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Basically, we have to be careful because our thoughts turn into words and our words turn into actions. Paul said it this way in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Understand, I love this because of this. I love it because it isn't me changing me, but this is God changing me by renewing my mind. By stopping the negative lies and replacing it with godly truth. It isn't me working to change me. It isn't you working to change you. This is us working to align our thoughts with God's thoughts. And when we think God's thoughts, God changes us. But he doesn't change us into a better version of us, but into a new person. That's what the Bible's saying here. Allow God to change you into a new person by changing the way you think. Because you think, what you think will end up coming out of your mouth. The Bible says it, we said it, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. See, so much, it's like this, right now, get ready. So much of life isn't about what happens to you, but how you think about what happens to you. So much of life isn't about what happens to you, hear me, but about how you think about what happens to you. I'm about to step on some toes, but this is exactly how stress is. This describes stress. It's the same thing for stress. Stress is not about what you have to get done or what you have to do. This stress is how you think about what you have to do. See, when you and I recognize that God is in us, God's in you. His power is real. His grace sustains you. When you're weak, he's strong. Suddenly what seemed like stress turns into an opportunity to tap into the power of God. Paul unpacks this powerful thought in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. See, Paul's saying here, the weapons of this world aren't what we use. Not a knife, not a gun. They are spiritual weapons. They have spiritual power. We, as children of God, we fight with prayer. As children of God, we fight with fasting. We fight with the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the belt of truth. We've got the shoes prepared with the gospel of peace. We don't have normal weapons, people. Our weapons are powerful and they demolish strongholds. Well, excuse me, what's a stronghold, Pastor? Well, I'm glad you asked. The word stronghold is translated acclamora. That's how you say it, acclamora. The word stronghold is translated acclamora. If you can imagine, I'll explain this. If you can imagine a castle, beautiful castle. And in that castle, way down deep, on the very bottom, is a dungeon. A prison. Are you with me so far? Imagine that prison. Imagine that. The very literal translation of the word stronghold, acclamora, is this. A prisoner locked by deception. A prisoner locked by deception. So a stronghold is someone in prison and deceived into believing that there is no way out. It's a wrong mindset. It's a spiritual trap. For all you Star Wars fans, it's a trap, if you know what I'm talking about. I remember, give you an example, I remember when the boys were very small before Julian was born, so they were real super tiny. And, you know, I would be on daddy duty because daddy duty, you don't babysit your own kids. So I was like, I can't say I'm not babysitting, you know, so you don't babysit your own kids. All the men should have said amen right there, but that's okay. But, you know, you don't babysit your own kids. So mom was out, Pastor Kathy was out, wherever she was, with Pastor Patty, with her mom, and wherever she was. So we got boy time, hanging out time. I got Nick and Nate, and they're little tiny. They're running around. So we do stuff. We get to do stuff that we normally don't get to do when mom's around, right? So we wrestle because we had this big California-sized king, and for a little, when you're the little tiny ones, there's like that's a big giant wrestling mat to them. And so we have lots of fun, and then we'd also have those big foam Hulk hands. You guys remember those, right? And then also they used to have, thing, is a big rock guy, so they have, thing, foam hands, and I put them in the middle, let them duke it out, last one standing, baby, let's do this, and we just have guy, boy time. Another thing we do is, what we probably shouldn't do is run through the house, right? And so we were running through the house because we play superheroes. Right? So in this typical fashion, I'm Spider-Man because Spider-Man is the best superhero of all time. Right? So I'm Spider-Man and they're whoever they are. Usually it's Batman or Superman and they're running around. And I remember one time we were running through the house and I was running and I ran into the room, our bedroom. And then I come around the bed, right? And then, they're running in, and everything else. And one's acting like they're flying and I jump like Spider-Man does, scale the bed, and everything. And I'm like, man, I'm getting tired, straight up. So I remember getting on the other side of the bed, and they're coming around, right? And I jump out, and I close the door, and I hold it like this. And as they're holding it, they're like coming, they get off the bed, and they're like, oh, trying to get out. And I'm like, I locked you guys out. And they're trying to pull. And after a couple minutes, they give up, right? Because I'm taking a break. I'm holding the door. I'm like, okay, all right. How much are you going to be gone for? And then so all of a sudden I realize that they start jumping on the bed and playing with, this messing around. So I'm like, all right. So I go and I sit down on the couch right there. And every couple minutes, couple times, they would come by the door, never opening it, but come by the door, "Daddy, are you going to unlock the door?" And I, you know, "Whatever you think, you know." And I took a 10-minute break. And they never, one time after that, never, ever, ever walked over and checked the door. I had to tell them that the door was unlocked. That is what Aklamora is, church. It's a prisoner locked by deception. That is somebody, someone believing a lie and not living their life in the way that they could. It's a silly illustration, but honestly, many of you in church here today, that's exactly where you're at. You're in a prison, fooled by the enemy, thinking that it's locked, but yet it's wide open. Why? Because the devil doesn't have any authority or power over a believer. Only, like I said last week, only where we or what we allow him to have. He has got you so convinced, the enemy's got you so convinced that you can't, you won't, and you never will. He's got you so convinced that you don't have the faith to reach out and grab what could be yours. Why? Because you're believing the lie. It is a stronghold of the devil. But the good news is that the good news is that you have divine power. Divine power. You have divine power to demolish strongholds. Now, that is very, very awesome to say. It's awesome to hear. But let's be honest, how is that walked out? How does the child of God demolish a stronghold? See, because I've been like you. I sat where you sat, and I'm like, okay, that's awesome. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Raise the roof for Jesus. I mean, I'm just excited and everything else. When I walk out the door, it's like, how do I do that? This morning, we're going to give you natural application of how to do this. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 says, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of Christ. We take captive." Take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Say out loud, we take captive. We take captive. I love this version of it, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 again. This is the New Living Translation, NLT version. It says it this way, "We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ." That's good stuff right there. If you have a rebellious thought, what do? Capture it. You say, "Hush up, rebellious thought. You're going to obey Christ." A critical thought comes in. What do? Capture it. Take a seat, critical thought. You're going to obey Christ. You have a negative thought. Someone says you can't, you won't, you never will. What do? Capture it. Hush up and take a seat, jabroni. You're not going to have any power over my life. I'm going to teach you the Word of God. You stop it immediately. And then you teach it the Word of God. I know that. How do we do that? Let me give you some natural application. Here are two questions to ask yourself. How to apply this immediately to my life. As in right now, when I walk out the door, I can do this right now. Right now, Pastor John, right now, because I need it right now. Right? Here's two questions to ask yourself. Number one, what negative thoughts are dominating your thinking? What negative thoughts right now are dominating your thinking? Here are a couple of examples to get you thinking in the right direction, to locate you again. I encourage you to really think about this. Perhaps some negative thoughts like, "I can't get it all done." Perhaps some negative thoughts like, "I'm not good enough. I'm not a good enough mom." I mean, come on. She brought homemade cookies. I brought store-bought cookies. # I stink as a mom. Stuff like that. Right? Negative thoughts. I'm always going to battle with blank. You fill in the blank. I'm always going to battle with anger. I'm always going to battle with porn. I'm always going to battle with obesity. I'm always going to battle with you fill in the blank for your life, for you. Negative thoughts like, I'm undisciplined. I'm not good with people. Negative thoughts like, I'm just an average student. I'm never going to amount to much. Negative thoughts like, I am just not enough. What is it that you're consistently telling yourself time and time again every single day? Because remember, your life is moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. So in asking what negative thoughts are dominating your thinking, now ask yourself the second question. What spiritual truth will demolish your strongholds? What spiritual truth will demolish your strongholds? Those unhelpful and godly thoughts. Now you may say, I'm kind of new around here. I'm new, Pastor Don. I'm new to the things of God. I probably don't know the word like the word of God like I should. So, you know, I don't know those things. Well, I encourage you. I admonish you. I implore you. And that's one of the things, the awesome things about being involved in the FWC small group. Man, I have seen time and time again, I've heard testimonies, I've seen it with my own eyes, individuals being in a small group, and whatever they're going through, whatever their challenges, they get encouraged and built up by somebody else within that group. The small groups are so vital here at Family Worship Center. And I'll just tell you, I personally do two small groups, one for men on Wednesday night, which is awesome, Extraordinary Elevation. But the one I'm talking about is the one on Monday nights. Monday nights, it's called Next. I do it with Miss Maggie Lopez. And Next, Life After Death. And I'll be honest with you. It's been 14 years since my father passed away. I'm well on the other side. I can think about my dad. I can think about things, and it doesn't bother me. You know, I smile, and I can hear his voice now on a video, and I don't break it. I don't break down, you know. I'll break down, and you know I'm well on that other side. And there's the man side of me thinks, why in the world do I want to have a class where I am going to go back and conjure up all these feelings of how my father died at the age of 55 before his time, my mother died at the age of 57 before her time, and have all this stuff, you know, be hashed back up. But I'll tell you why. Because of the people's faces when we're around that table, and they're getting ministered to, and as one is sharing one story, and how they're sharing their story, it's helping another person. And if I could just help one that I've been through that before, if I understand a familiar path, and I could bring those individuals to a place where they can come to a place of healing, it's worth it. It's really about being selfless and not selfish. Oh, I don't want to go through that. I don't want to deal with that. You know, no, it's not. It's like, you know, it's being, you know, you have so much more to give. And I guarantee you this, that small group that you're constantly running from, is most likely the small group you're going to get your answers in. Remember, stronghold, a deception. What spiritual truth will demolish your strongholds? Here are some thoughts that may help you demolish your strongholds. Here are some thoughts. I have everything I need to do everything God calls me to do. That's a thought that'll just demolish stronghold. Christ in me is more than enough. Another one, worry is not my master. My faith is in God and God alone. Another one, I am not easily offended. Ooh, that'll resonate a lot in here. I'm not easily offended. I am full of the unconditional, unstoppable, unquenchable love of God. That's a thought that will destroy, demolish strongholds. Another one, God is with me. He will never leave me, and He will never forsake me. Now you see, this discipline that I'm talking about is power within words. How do we take control of our words that breathe life? By understanding the power of the words within our minds first. It's the whole thought behind it. So how do we do this on a daily basis? Well, number one, I encourage you to do this. Every single person, seek God first every day. Every day, seek God first. There's a first principles. Probably the best first principles I've ever heard was from Pastor Ray. A couple years ago. Amazing, amazing first principles series. It's still on the website. Look it up. Amazing. But see, seek God first every single day. Seek God the first of the day. I mean, we see God the first day of the week on Sundays, right? We see God through fasting the first of the year. We return our first fruits back unto, first fruits are our increase back unto God through the local church. We put God first. First, if you put God first every single day, spend time with Him and just pray a few minutes. Don't be deceived that it has to be this long and gated none of that. It's one-on-one with God. Just a few minutes, feed on His Word, and then speak aloud what He says is true about you. That discipline, power within words, will start to change your thinking. So I'm going to give you some suggestive statements. I'm going to break it down even more. How you can make this applicable. Give you some examples of how to do this within your own life. Example, this discipline I'm talking about, this discipline of power within words. Here's a list of examples. Okay? Maybe you worry all the time. Maybe you're someone that worries a lot. Okay? This statement may be for you. Because, and now you would say this statement, you write this statement out. Right? And you would say this, and you would, in your prayer time, in the morning, you would pray this. You would say this out loud. You would start with this, man. Believe it. This is the Word of God. So you would say this. If you're a worrier, you worry all the time, your statement might look like this. Because of Christ, I am not anxious about anything. I cast my cares on God because He cares for me. I have the peace of God dwelling within my heart and ruling my mind. Day in and day out, you declare the powerful statement of faith, right? Maybe you're an individual that says, you know what, I don't know the will of God for my life. What does He want me to do? Right? Maybe that's somebody here this morning. You make the statement. Maybe your statement may look like this. My life belongs to God. Daily, I seek Him, and daily He directs my steps. I know His voice. And He leads me in His perfect will. You would say this every day. Every day. Maybe you're in the house and you lack confidence. Right? Maybe your statement might be like this. My confidence is in Christ alone. Because the Spirit lives within me, I can do everything He calls me to do. Here's one that may hit across the entire auditorium. Maybe you're inconsistent with your time with God. Maybe your statement may look like this. Now, once again, I'll start with this. I'll say this. You're going to say this. You may not feel it. At first, you may not feel it. But you keep saying it, and you keep saying it, and you keep saying it until it becomes true to you and until it becomes true in you. But if maybe, like I said, inconsistent with your time with God, your statement may be this. I love the living and dwelling presence of my good God. Praying is as important to me as breathing. God's Word nourishes my soul. I depend on His presence every moment of the day. I'm telling you, at first, it may seem silly at first, but if you continually say these things over and over and over again, day after day, week after week, month after month, you are consistently speaking what is true, and God is renewing your mind. This is how it does. God is changing the way you think. See, I know this is works firsthand. I'm not telling you something that is just pie in the sky. Now, some of you, a lot of you may know because I've shared before, but you know, my father was married five times. Wife number five, the final one, did some very messed up things, stealing inheritance money from my kids, stealing the home that we grew up in, not allowing me on the property to get anything of my father's belongings. The funeral was a circus. She ran off and got married in Vegas to the man that she was having an affair with while my father was actually taking chemo. And those are the things that I can actually say to you publicly. So I tell you that to just give you a little smidget of the bitterness, hatred, and animosity that had developed in my heart for this woman. I grew an unruling hate for this woman. And it had begun to change me. I mean, I would have nightmares that I would wake up screaming. And now I wouldn't be wake up screaming in fear. I'd wake up screaming in anger. And I remember Kathy sitting down with me and her saying, John, this bitterness is getting the best of you. It's changing. It's changing you. And tears in her eyes. And I said, okay. I remember that look in her eyes. So I got with God and I surrendered this thinking, this mentality to him. I first asked God to forgive me for the unforgiveness that I had for her. There was a spiritual healing that took place right then and there. I believe that instantly happened. But here's the thing. When it comes to the spiritual and the natural. Things can happen in the supernatural, in the spiritual realm. Right? Let me reverse it. Things could happen in the natural realm so long that it affects the spiritual. So, like, God can forgive me, and he did cleanse me from all unrighteousness, but there were natural consequences that I had to have my mind renewed with. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So, I went ahead and I did exactly what the Bible said to do. I went to Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. That said, and this is old school, good old fashioned King James Version. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. I didn't feel like blessing that woman with my words and praying for her. I felt like I had a legitimate right to feel that way. But I'm telling you today, it doesn't mean that God's word is to be overridden by the extenuating circumstances and situations that you may be going through, whether it's legitimate or not. God's word is true. Like we said last week, Psalms 89 talks about that every word that he speaks is a covenant, and God will not turn away from that covenant that he has made. He is bound to his word. God's word doesn't change by our circumstances or our situations. God's word is forever, and God's word is eternal. We're the ones that need to change. So I prayed a simple prayer for that woman. And first, I grind my teeth in the name of Jesus. I ask you to bless that woman. I was doing, my neck was cricking and cracking and everything else. I want to say the first few days, but it was maybe longer than that. But as I began to say, God, I ask you to bless, and I say her name. Call her out by name. Bless her. Bless her financially. Woo, that was a hard one. Bless her financially. I pray that she's walking in divine health. and that you send laborers across her path that would minister life and introduce her to you, and that she will know you and one day walk on streets of gold instead of perishing in an eternal hell. And the more I kept doing that, my mind was getting renewed. But here's the deal. My heart was becoming soft. My hardened heart about that was getting soft. And after months of praying that prayer, bitterness left, the anger resided, and love rose again. And I encourage you this morning, make your own list. Speak it aloud and over you every single day. Those two questions, what negative thoughts are dominating your thinking? List them out. And what spiritual truth will demolish those strongholds? This is real. This is where people live. You know, even Lisa is sitting back there. She stayed for the second service. She was telling me, oh my gosh, I hope it's okay to share. She was like, what you're talking about is so real. The church has understood this. That a year ago, they had bills piled up. And she did what we're talking about and started speaking and renewing her mind. Saying that God is my provider. God is my provider. And even though that the money or the bills outweighed the money, she still stayed in faith and started saying, she was saying it every single day, God is my provider. God is my provider. God is my provider. Day in, day out, week after week, month after month, and a year later, just 1 year later, she says their home income has more than doubled. This is not a pie in the sky thing. This is the word of God. This is what we're talking about, an elevated life. That's what this is, elevated. This is how we're supposed to be living as children of God every single day. And what is the enemy trying to do? He's trying to keep us in that prison where the door is wide open. It's up to you to walk out. This is how we're supposed to be living our lives every day. But this morning, or I should say, last night, as I was looking through this, and I do a lot of polishing to a message the night before, I felt to go a different direction as the way I thought originally. And this is what we're going to do. If Mary wouldn't mind coming up, prayer workers, altar workers, if you wouldn't mind getting in place at this time. I really believe the reason why God wanted me to end with that illustration, a story about my father's final wife number 5, was because I did make a choice to allow bitterness and anger to come in. And there was a spiritual healing that I said took place. And when that spiritual healing, that definitely, definitely impacted the spirit realm in my life. When I did that, it was so much easier for God's word to renew my mind. Sometimes we can have so much junk that's attached to a situation. Now let's just clean it up first. Let's just get it washed by the blood. Get it right with God. So then this way you can really actually start to walk out that renewing. Because see, once I would pray that, I would say, God, I ask you to bless that woman. When the enemy would say, you can't say that. You know those evil things that you said about that. You don't believe that. I could say, no, God forgave me that. I captured that thought. And I said, according to 1 John 1:9, But I've gone to God and He's forgiven me of it. And He's faithful and just enough to forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I captured that thought because I was in right standing with God because of saying, God, just forgive me of it. If there's something, this is what I felt. I felt that there's not, it's not for every single person. But I feel that there's just some individuals that just need there to be a spiritual healing take place before you start walking this out. I don't know your situation. I don't know your circumstance. But guess what? I don't need to because God does. He does. He wants the best for you.